So you want to leave today, huh?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm getting worse, I think.
Yeah, it's getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
I'm just getting older.
How old are you, 50 or what?
57.
57? Yeah, it's getting old.
Not old enough to retire, but getting close.
You can retire with 60, huh?
Yes. 60 is okay.
Okay, have some, you know, relax and have some fun before you go into this crazy world of children. But at least you know you're in the compound of Americans. Huh?
That's not much better.
It's not much better.
I'm more worried about America than Germany.
Huh?
I'm more worried about America.
Yeah, it's the same. It's pretty much the same.
It's crazy.
It's a split in society, just like in Germany. If you're worried, just put up a jacket. Because you cannot change it.
Right.
Worry brings us only, you know, bad feelings there. Yeah? But we cannot change anything. If you do buddha, we might be able to have this person or that person that is around us. Okay?
Well, thank you for keeping an open door here.
You can come anytime. As long as you want. Yeah?
Okay.
So what is with you?
I think I've been longing to see you for 3 years now. After I see you.
What?
I've been longing to see you for 3 years
now. You have been longing to see me for 3 years now. Now that you see that, you can go back home.
No. My practice, I think it's improved.
Yes, sir.
The control thing that I mentioned yesterday. So
what?
The control thing. So I think it is because I know what sati feels like when it understands all the aspects of breath. And when I force it at the beginning, that's where the control happens.
Yeah.
And I should not do that. Whatever I can observe, I observe and start it from there. I think this is the...
I'm in this control thing. You always have to... The moment you see you take control of the breath, you know, or you see also expectations coming up, then you should, you know, stop for a moment and say relax and then go back on. Otherwise, you will never be able to let control, of the breath.
Ajahn, one more thing, in Uchara Samadhi, I observed that there is a anxiety coming up.
Then it's not Upachara Samadhi.
Before entering?
Yeah, before you enter it, that might be,
And I'm trying to understand what thought is that triggers this thing, but I'm not able to get it.
That's what the Kalesas want to know, what triggers them. The anxiety comes from the Kalesas. Because when you enter Upachara Samadhi, the Kalesas have no reign over you. So, when a father sees that it's right, goes loose, he feels anxiety, because he has no control over the child anymore, So it's the Kalesas, who control you. I mean, in the moment you enter Upachara Samadhi, they have no control over you.
It's like a fear.
Yes, it's a fear. And it becomes, this fear becomes extremely strong, you know, when you enter Apana Samadhi. And you just have to, acknowledge it, Do not suppress it. You acknowledge it, whatever, And whatever can go, let it go. And whatever stays, let it go. There will always be something,
But is it located?
What?
Can I analyze this thing? Can I?
No, it's no point in analyzing. The whole practice is about experience. Analyzing is that, what the Kalesas use, and what we are trained to do, Try to analyze everything and we will never get down to the truth. But if we see it with our own eyes, just like I said, with observing the animals, When you see it with your own eyes, you know, I mean, how can you not know what's going on? We don't need to analyze, yeah? But we try it always, yeah? Huh? We try to analyze this, analyze that, and never anything good happened from them, yeah?
Yes.
Huh? There's only words and actions that change the situation. But analyzing doesn't change. I mean, we can use it in our job, that's where it is useful, yeah? Huh? That's where we need to analyze things, yeah? But, huh?
And then, one more question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you work, my work involves reading a lot of research papers, working on prototype. It's a heavy mental work. And during that time, my sati is completely gone. And I feel so drained that after that, I start meditating and fall asleep.
You stop?
Meditating in a fall asleep.
Yeah.
And it becomes very intense mental work, and I don't know how to combine both of them.
You're not mentally working for 8 hours a day. You will sometimes have a coffee, or you sometimes go to the toilet. And that's where you refresh your.
At that point of time, when I do for a week, the control happens.
Yes. And also the same thing, relax. The moment you see the control happens, relax. The control is always wanting something, wanting. And then tell yourself, no, we don't want something. The only thing that we want is to want to know what is happening. Not judging, not wanting this or that to happen. We want to know what is happening.
But I have a question about the first about the Buddha meditation.
Yeah.
And, the second one about daily reflection. So about the Buddha meditation, I've been noticing that while I've been getting better at not falling asleep, I still keep falling asleep at the wrong time. Like right now, it's around this time that I start to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Like in the evening, it's like when I'm supposed to fall asleep, that's when I'm like all awake. It's like
that's good.
But what about in the morning?
I mean, sometimes this changes. You know, if you feel too sleepy in the morning, then go to sleep in the morning, yeah. But then use the night to practice.
Oh, just basically adapt myself to it. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't matter when, when we sleep, I don't sleep too much, That is the only key, you know. If you see you sleep in the morning, you sleep in the afternoon, you sleep in the night, then it's too much,
Why did I go here in the first place? Because I noticed that I've been taking, instead of doing that, I've been taking coffee so as to ensure, I don't know, it's like it's kind of like abusing myself with coffee in the morning.
So whatever. I mean, feel the rhythm, And as long as you know, I mean, you don't sleep more than 4 or 5 hours a day in total, then it's fine. Then sleep whenever you feel, it is necessary. But we, when we start to practice really hard, then we don't sleep when we are tired. Then we lie down when we are not tired, and we instantly fall asleep. But I mean, in the beginning, do it like this. Until you really get into practice, and then you can do it. When I was practicing 16, 18 hours a day, I normally wasn't tired, but the body was tired because of sitting and walking, So the moment I started to lay down, halfway I was already asleep.
Well, that's good to know. Alright, thank you, Bhante. And the second question has to do with the reflection. Basically, ever since I got here, even before I got here, I noticed that while it's simple enough to implement, it's hard to implement.
Yes.
It's like, what came next? And what I've been trying to do before coming here and asking this question is I've been trying to split the reflection into a segment. Is that all right? Like, okay. For example, in the afternoon, okay, yeah. I'll start remembering whatever happened from morning to afternoon. Yeah. Okay, then.
It's okay. And remember, if you don't remember anything, just skip to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to remember because that, you know, I mean, that fuels up, you know, and then memory from yesterday and from, yeah, and then thought of tomorrow coming.
Or the analysis.
Yeah. And don't judge it, yeah? If you don't remember something, you know, what did I do after brushing my teeth? I can't remember. Okay, go to the next thing that you remember, yeah? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Because then you know there was no sati after, you know, while you brushed your teeth, you lost your sati, and then you don't remember what you did, yeah? But the more often you do, that it drains the sati during the day.
So it's an indicator then of how much sati has
is it? Yeah. I mean, if you remember everything, that means you have sati during the day, yeah?
Mm-hmm. But was it okay to even start, like, doing the reflection, like, several times a day?
It's okay, yeah. I mean, if you're not used to, yeah. But try to keep it short, yeah? Don't go into thoughts, yeah? Just pull up the memory, you know, what was it, what kind of feelings, what kind of thoughts, you know, were there, yeah, and then go to the next, yeah. Don't stay too long on one point, yeah, but just, you know, to recollection, exactly,
even the
recollection,
feelings.
What?
Even the feelings, and
whatever feelings, yeah, because it shows you, you know, when you go through the day, you know, it shows you how these kind of thoughts or memories or dreams, you know, I mean, color your whole perception. That's what we want to understand, yeah?
Yeah. All right, thank you, Bansi. So, beginners, right?
Yeah?
They're trying to improve their samadhi, right?
Yeah?
Is panika samadhi a reasonable target to sort of?
No. People don't really understand what is panika samadhi. Panika samadhi is rather difficult to attain, yeah? We are training, you know, we are training for upachara samadhi, yeah? The moment, you know, thoughts, yeah? The moment thoughts and memories stop, that's what we're training for. That's why we need the Buddha, or that's why we need the practice. So whenever, you have to be patient, and that is what the young generation has no, they have no patience. Because they're constantly there. No patience. They always have to look, you know, somewhere else. Huh? Ah, yeah, yeah, this. And when you look at young people, you know, going through their smartphones, I mean, I can't even, I'm so amazed at the speed, you know, I'm a bit
They're very quick. My sister is very, very quick. She's just like, she does four things at the same time.
What?
She does four things at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that is not good. I mean, that's why you have problems, you know, when you train samadhi, because it's so quick, it goes out, you know. No, always bring it back, yeah, until there's no more thought and there's no more no more memory coming, or hardly any thought or hardly any memory. And then you feel safe. That's what we aim for. Huh?
Can you guys, like, the lowest kind of samadhi, right?
No! You don't understand. Panika is momentary samadhi. And momentary samadhi is actually, yeah, that you go into apana samadhi, but for a split of a second. And when you come out of this panika samadhi, then you normally go into upachara samadhi and stay there. So it is very difficult. For people who train apana samadhi, then sometimes they go into panika samadhi. The one thing that we should aim for, and the easiest one, is upachara samadhi.
Okay.
Yeah? People have a wrong understanding about panika samadhi. Also, lots of wrong understanding about jhanas and so on.
Wrong understanding about everything.
yes. But that is only in the brain, not in the heart, yeah? They all read it, you know. Of course, you know, in the sutta, at the time of the Lord Buddha. I mean, if you are born at the time of the Lord Buddha, I mean, how many eons of lifetime must you must have practiced to be able, you know, and have the opportunity to stay with the Buddha.
Yeah.
Hmm? Hmm? So people were very good at samadhi. And they didn't have smartphones.
Buddha at the right time.
They didn't have computers to play with, yeah? Huh? They didn't have all these, you know, and I mean, even what is it? What were these, you know, PlayStations and things like that?
Gaming console.
Gaming control, yeah. I mean, I was, when I was born, you know, I mean, we didn't even had a TV.
Oh.
My father bought a TV when I was 16. And then I wasn't interested in the TV anymore. Because with 16, you're not...
Yeah,
you weren't conditioned yet. To be a bit into TV.
I mean, yeah, children, you know, I mean, when I was staying in the U.S., I mean, everybody had a TV in his room, yeah.
Hmm?
The little child, you know, the middle child, the older child had all TVs in separate rooms because they wanted to watch different channels, yeah. I didn't. Yeah. When we played, you know, we played out in the forest, yeah?
Yeah. With other kids.
And then, yeah, and then we made up our own games. Or we played in the street, you know, ball games, yeah? And made up our own games. So I mean, that's a lot of creativity, yeah?
After a while, parents, I noticed, they started getting worried about, oh, no, you have, like, these scratches and all these wounds. And
that is true. That's normal. You know, a kid has to go through these things.
Yeah.
But now it is completely different, yeah? Mm-hmm. Parents are too much worried about their kids, yeah, that they get this illness or this sickness, yeah?
Some kids even have leashes, I've seen them.
Yeah, yeah, so when they see it, yeah, I mean, these, just like a dog, you know?
Okay.
Anyway, so, David, do you have a question?
Yeah, one quick one.
Yeah.
I'm curious what your thoughts are about paying our debt back to our parents, and especially if I was curious about ordination,
yeah,
how much I should get their blessings and just make sure that there's some like transition there from my family and especially my parents.
I mean, ordination is the best thing that can happen for your parents. That's the best thing that you can do for your parents.
Right.
Ordination. But how to pay back the debt is not that you go there and help them, yeah. It is transferring the merit of your practice with them. Yeah. Because they can take part in more. Just like you transfer money, you know, wireless money, you know, or wire money, yeah? Maybe I don't know what it took, yeah? I mean, you just wire some money over there. Now we mire the marriage, yeah? But it's not wireless, you know, I mean, it's a different treatment. So that's how you do it, yeah? I mean, you can do that every day, you know, I mean, you can send some, yeah? I mean, you can send some metta, you know, I mean, operate, you know, maybe may they take part in the matter, but also with the marriage. Yeah. They will need it.
Yes.
Yeah? Especially if they are Christians. Yeah? Because they believe, you know, I mean, they believe, you know, when they believe in God, you know, they go to heaven. Yeah.
You have to remember that, something might follow.
Yeah, I told one of my sisters who started Christianity, and I said, you will be amazed when you die. you're not with Jesus, you know, you will be somewhere else. But anyway, they don't believe it. What happened, you know, when my father died, I didn't see him for 10 years, yeah? Because he was down in hell, you know. But then he came, yeah, and then he was so happy to get some marriage. Yeah? It's just like money, you know, in other worlds, yeah? Yeah? My mother came instantly, you know. When she died, she came instantly. She looked around, you know, for a day, And then, yeah, and then she got them married, yeah. And that wasn't enough, huh? She was a little bit greedy, yeah. When she came back a week ago, you know, give me some. So that is the thing that you can do. And it is, especially, you know, I mean, in this life, you know, there are so many people who can help, yeah. If you have brothers and sisters, they can help them, you know, physically, yeah. But after that, that's where you can help. Very, very.
As far as something like ordination, what type of process might help as far as like, telling the family and letting them know your intention and trying to
first of all, make sure that you want it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Once you want it, you know, I mean, you feel a little bit, you know, in the direction, how do they react to that, yeah? Well, what do you think when I become ordained, you know? I mean, you see a strong reaction, you know, I mean, yeah? But they might be okay there from Canada. They might be okay.
I usually go I totally fail the test. No, I'm just joking, I got 55. You know, then they're like, oh no, and then they're, okay, fine. But otherwise, if you
just say, I'm 55, you know, oh, you're so bad, yeah.
Yeah, so, I went to Thailand, I became a drug addict. What? No, I'm just going to get ordained.
I'm addicted. Yeah, but that, it depends on the parents, you know your parents, you know how they react. But you, for ordination, you have to have, the permission of your parents.
Yes.
Yeah, so you have to ask them, yeah? If they're okay, you know, if they're okay with it. They don't have to say it's good, yeah? They don't have to say it's good, you know, or they say it's great, yeah? But they have to allow it, yeah, in one form or another. My parents didn't think that it was great, yeah? My father said, oh, he's becoming a backup.
What?
A backup.
Oh, okay.
Literally. Asocial, yeah? I said, okay, good. If you think like this, yeah, fine. I'm happy.
Yeah, my dad was like...
And my mother said, you go to hell. I said, hell is that nice, yeah? I'm happy to go to hell.
I got those two comments.
Yeah?
Disappointed in you, you're going to hell.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I told my mother, you know, I mean, if hell is that night, mm-hmm. I'm happy to go to hell.
Yeah.
And she was, yeah. But they changed, you know, I mean, the moment they see you change, they also change. Yeah? I mean, after 7 years, I came back and they were so happy, you know.
Somehow I hope that...
And when I left my father, you know, run tears, yeah? I mean, I've never saw my father crying, but you know, he run tears, yeah? And my mother got interested, yeah? So, I mean, it depends on you, yeah? I mean, if you don't change, you know, if you just, you know, take on the ropes, you know, and don't change inside, I mean, they won't change. But if they see you change to something, you know... Something, you know, that you know, that really radiates some metta or compassion, yeah? I mean, there's nothing that can you know, object to you. Metta is the only, or compassion is the only way that goes through every person, yeah? I mean, you really get rid of their defenses. And they are very defensive, yeah? Of course, yeah. I mean, they're your parents, yeah? They're very defensive, yeah? But the only way how you get through their defenses is having compassion, yeah? Not saying, I have compassion for you, but they don't believe that. I really love you, no? No, they don't believe that. But if if they feel, yeah? And that's how we communicate, we feel. I mean, we think we communicate with language, but we don't communicate with language, yeah? When your mother says something, you know, I mean, you know exactly, you know, what she means, yeah? But if you listen to the words, you know you don't understand, yeah? You think this way, yeah? It's the same thing when you listen to your parents, yeah? They say something, you know, I mean, but it's a completely different thing, what they mean.
Yeah.
Because we are not trained, you know, to say what we mean. We are trained to say what is good or what is proper or what is appropriate.
Yeah, a lot of times, like, I'll find my sisters come to me. I mean, this is just a small example.
Yeah.
You might have more subtle examples. But she'll come to me and she'll say, you know, something random about this. And I'll think she's actually talking about it, but that she's not.
No.
She just wants some attention. She just wants some love.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. And when I see that, then I stop involving myself.
Yeah.
And I just give her what she wants.
She not only wants attention, she feels lonely and she feels disconnected.
Yeah.
And she wants to connect with you.
Oh, man.
So if you give this connection to her,
then
she will be happy.
Then she lights up then.
But if you react on what she says, yeah, I mean she will be not happy.
Yeah.
Or she will even, you know, argue against you, yeah.
That's hard.
No, it's very easy. The more we go and train ourselves, you know, to be with the heart, yeah.
Step back.
Then we can at any moment, you know, we can communicate with people.
Oh, so that we're not just limiting ourselves to the words that we hear.
That's right.
Sense.
I mean, we listen with our heart, you know, and then we say, then we understand what their heart is telling us. Not what,
yeah.
I guess there's fear, at least in
of course,
mind.
There's always fear.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah. No, it's not that we don't want to see that. That there's a fear, you know, that we fail. Yeah? There's a fear that we are fail or that we cannot do it or that we really don't understand it. And we have to go through this fear. Yeah? I mean, we are there to learn from our mistakes. Yeah? And we are afraid to make mistakes. Huh? If we are afraid to make mistakes, yeah, we stay stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah? If we don't learn from our mistakes, I mean, then we are extremely stupid, yeah?
That's
but if we learn from our mistakes, then we can become smart. Yeah? People are so afraid to make mistakes.
Yeah.
They stay stupid, yeah? They don't learn a thing. Okay?
Yeah, cool.
Bye-bye.
All right. I have two very small questions. I never got the time to ask.
Sorry.
I guess I was too busy making comments. One was around sleep.
Yeah.
I do tend to sleep a lot. At night, not in the day. I go straight to walking meditation. But at night I sleep 8-9 hours. I get
so you ruin... I mean, if you sleep 8 hours or 9 hours, you ruin everything what you did the day before.
Oh.
Because you wake up, you know, with these, you know, the dream full, you know, your head full of dreams and thoughts and ideas, yeah. And then in the evening, the mind starts to become clear, and then he goes to sleep, you know, and the next day he wakes up with the same mind.
I go to the movie hall, and I watch movies for 8 hours. Okay, so how many hours do you recommend?
I mean, in the beginning, if you can cut down to at least 6 hours, yeah, when you stay here longer, 5 hours, 4 hours, yeah?
6 hours.
4 hours, yeah.
Okay.
Is that, you know, where we really start to go and practice.
Okay. And the second question was, when Abhijit was here, he was asking you about control, etc.
Yeah.
And you mentioned when you feel yourself trying to control breath or trying to control...
Let's just say relax.
Feeling. Yeah. Does that apply to sitting also?
Yeah.
So, and can I open my eyes? If I'm falling asleep, can I open my eyes and say, oh,
yeah, of course.
This is happening.
Yeah. I mean, I said... Always, you know, I mean, if you feel, you know, you're just in a way where you really can't, you know, focus anymore, then open your eyes, sit straight, you know, I mean, yeah, and then go back.
So it's not like you have to have your eyes closed for 1 hour. That's not the point.
Yeah. Not, I mean, of course, you know, it would be good, you know, if you can do that. Yeah? With your sati, but, you know, remember, we are training sati, yeah? I mean, if the sati is lost, you know, I mean, it's useless to close your eyes and sleep,
yeah.
You know, while you're sitting, yeah? Or fall, you know, your head is falling over, yeah?
So often I'll just get layers of thoughts about the same fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, about, I'll tell this person this happened.
I mean, then take, you know, I mean, sometimes.
1 hour would just go like that, you know? And with me.
And sometimes, you know, I mean, in the beginning, I mean, it was so tough, you know, especially if you are mentally, you know, I mean, if you have a job that is very mentally active, yeah. So I was sitting there, you know, in some, you know, it's amazing. I took a machine gun, you know, and whoop, you know, whenever there was a thought, yeah. And then the masses of thoughts were gone, and then there were the smart thoughts, you know. And with the smart thoughts, you have to deal very differently. Different. Because they have bulletproof vests, yeah? I mean, find some sort of, you know, I mean, find some sort, you know, that happened, yeah? Just shoot them down, you know, shooting them down is the same as paying no interest to what they are, yeah? Where they come from, what they are, and what they want, yeah? You will sooner or later deal with the ones, you know, that are more tenacious.
They just have layers.
Yeah.
Okay, I moved away, it's still there.
Yeah, because you're interested. You're still looking if they are there. And then of course they are there when you're looking, yeah? Yeah? When you're not interested, they are not there.
Yeah, because the second I bring it back to this, it's completely clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
and
I just
can't
do that.
Yeah? That's why we pull it always.
So frustrated.
Don't get frustrated, pull it back.